Welcome to the Ramblecast extended version.
Wow, does he always like stroke out in the middle?
And everybody froze.
Yeah, so easy, bro.
I froze. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Ramblecast extension version.
Oh, now you're just the guy from Science of the Lambs.
That is our opener. That is typically what we do for an opener.
Hello, mm-hmm.
Hello, Cody.
All of the conversations in between from that point to this point have been Game of Thrones related. Missed out on some really great conversations. Well, Jack and I convinced Nick to actually love the episode.
Yeah, he now gives it a 10 out of 100, but that was better than his 1.
Well, that's kind.
To me, it's all the people are saying, oh, well, if you didn't think Dan, I was like, it's not the turn for Danny. Like, to me, it makes sense. Like, it wasn't jarring.
It's not about the turn. But yeah, not at all.
The getting there was just really lame and compressed.
Yeah. And the fact that to me, there was not a lot of emotional attachment to the things that happened. I just didn't feel anything when I watched the episode because it felt forced to me. But I mean, it wasn't a bad episode. It's just, it just felt forced and there was no setup for it in a lot of ways. I mean, there was a very small amount. That's just me because I'm a plot guy, and as I've argued many times with Jay and Matt about other things,
I feel like your plot guy thing is like your.
Here's the thing, like sometimes
it's my go-to, it's my default.
That's why I like Truman, because if you look at the plot,
it makes sense. It's so simple
that it makes perfect sense.
There was character development. He came from how he rose from the
exactly. FDR didn't give two craps about him, but then he ascended once he died because he actually killed FDR. Nick's greatest.
The one time FDR invited him for breakfast, he smothered him.
That's right.
He smothered him.
Screw your condensation and compression of federal powers, FDR.
So now not only did Abigail Adams sleep with Thomas Jefferson, Truman killed FDR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he's number
one. It was a power grab.
You didn't know that?
I just realized that now.
I'm always in favor of coups.
It makes sense now.
If there's a coup involved, I
try
like
the
it.
Waffles. The waffles. Waffles.
That's where Nick's a Jefferson guy, because Jefferson was all about like a revolution every 5 years or whatever, which
right.
is freaking ridiculous. But sure, Jefferson. Yeah.
Because he liked that Beatles song.
The acoustic or the electric?
The one with George Harrison.
One, Revolution 9 or Revolution the single, because Revolution 1 is slow and boring as fuck. Revolution 9 is
we're gonna have a revolution.
And then there's the doo-wop version. Which is the
doo-wop revolution? Is that by the Hanson brothers?
Revolution 1 is doo-wop revolution.
Doo-wop.
It's like you say you want a revolution.
Doo-wop.
Like, then they're like, doo-wop, choo-wah-da-wah. Yeah, it's all like that in between
the Revolution 1. That's the album version.
Yeah. That's still slow though. But they did do a fast one with it as well.
With the doo-wop,
you're gonna need a revolution.
Yeah,
and the extended one that came out with the White Album,
doo-wop version.
Well, I know they did a live one that was that way, where Paul and George did the doo-wops.
The doo-wops. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I've not heard
the official the Beatles and the doo-wops. So, the White Album. Some of those longer versions were pretty cool, though. I mean, I liked the extended. I mean, this is an extended Ramblecast. I like the extended Beatles.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting now to think about some of those classic albums in the 60s and 70s and how they were really confined to 44 minutes, for an LP. And what would those records sound like today if they were unconstricted the way artists are today, where one record can be an hour and 8 minutes or whatever, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll put 20 tracks on here for one record versus just 10 to 12.
To me, I think the White Album is a perfect example of them not being inhibited by the single LP length, because I feel like if they would have condensed it to just one LP, it would have been a more tight album. Because to me, I like the White Album, but there's also a lot of just kind of in it.
There's definitely
they wanted an acoustic side. And then they wanted an electric side.
But it's not even that. There's just a lot of like shitty. I mean, they're not shitty songs. They're Beatles songs. So they're still better than most anything else. But still, true. I feel like, and I think either Harris.
Honey Pie.
Yes, yeah, so yeah, like Wild Honey Pie is the one that I would elbow. But there's lots of people I know that like Wild Honey Pie.
I know, and that's what's fascinating about White Album. It's like there's so many songs.
Those are the same people that like Game of Thrones. So
the same people are like, wait, you've never seen Petticoat Junction? It's the greatest
I've never said Petticoat Junction's the greatest show ever. I've never said
time.
That.
Yeah, give it time.
That's fake news. Fake news, buddy. That's why
White Album would be better if it was a single album, because it'd been tighter and you would have focused on what are your best tracks for that album.
Okay, so this is a game that my best friend and I who we went through the whole Beatles stuff back in high school, but we did a little game like, okay, take every song that's out there that you know that's White Album era, and try to condense it into one album and make a playlist on that, you know, and you gotta keep to the confines of
an actual LP. It is a lot of work,
but it's fun if you're a musicophile.
You're including Hey Jude.
Exactly.
So you're including the singles.
Okay. I'm saying like that recording sessions, though, that time period, anything that's available, you can throw onto that album, make a playlist that is just the White Album and one album. So you get to cut out all of the stuff that you don't want. If you don't want Happy Birthday, fine. Fuck it.
No, I think Happy Birthday needs to be on there, but I'm a problem.
I think it would be interesting, Jay. You know, like, you know, what would your playlist be?
It'd be really hard. It'd be hard to cut it down to one.
It is hard.
Because there's definitely some tracks that, you know.
You still have your list, Matt?
Because I would cut out Obla de Obla Die.
I would.
I'd cut out Obla de Obla Die. Continuing Story of Wild Bill or whatever it is.
Bungalow Bill.
I'd cut out Bungalow Bill. I mean, it's a good song, but I'm saying, but if you want to make a great just single record, I would elbow it out. You know, Revolution Number 9,
that's a penalty. Absolutely gone.
Saffoy Truffle would probably be gone.
Yeah.
A lot of the second disc would be gone. Yeah.
All right, let's go tell the Beatles.
To me, you keep Back in the USSR, you keep Dear Prudence,
Back in the USSR.
You drop Obla Di Obla Da.
Yep.
Would you drop Wild Honey Pie? I would probably drop Wild
Honey Pie. I would drop Wild Honey Pie. If I'm making one record, you're really confined.
Yeah.
I would drop the Bungalow Bill. You keep While My Guitar Gently Weeps. You keep Happiness is a Warm Gun.
Absolutely.
Martha, My Dear, you keep.
Mm-hmm. I'm so tired.
I love Martha, My Dear.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great track.
It's actually one of Paul's best piano playing he ever did.
Yes, I agree. Now, if you're including the singles, you have to include, or you could include as well, Lady Madonna was part of those sessions, wasn't it?
Well, it's in February of 68, which technically isn't the White Album because they were just trying to make a single before they went to India. So you have...
It should be post-India.
Yeah, you have Lady Madonna, you have Hey Bulldog, and Inner Light that recorded in that session.
You're right. This should be post-India.
So what if it was March? It'd be okay?
No, they'd have to be around.
Funny enough, my kids love Hey Bulldog. I like it too. I'm just saying it's one of my kids' favorite like Beatles songs. Like they break that song out all the time. Hey Bulldog.
I mean, you've heard that argument that to me is the last true Beatles song.
Yes. You've made that argument to me.
Yeah, I agree. Martha, My Dear, I'm So Tired, Blackbird, Piggies, I think you keep in there. Okay, Rocky Raccoon, do you drop Rocky? I would.
No, you got to keep Rocky Raccoon.
I like Rocky Raccoon.
You've dropped so many. No, I'm drawing the line on that one.
I like it, but you can only have 10.
You only have so much room. You still haven't gotten to disc two.
You'd have to break it down, though, because are you confining yourself to 44 minutes or just 10 tracks? So, because you can
right,
fit
40, I think it's 45 minutes. So it's more about time.
Because exactly, because like you have things like "I Will" and "Blackbird," which are really short songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. So let's just all right. I'm gonna start putting this list together now. All right.
So, I love this. Yeah.
Okay.
I wish I had my old list. I don't have it anymore. I don't think.
So we definitely are going first three tracks: "Back in USSR," "Dear Prudence," and "Glass Onion." Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then. We're skipping Obla Di Obla Da. We're skipping Wild.
I disagree with that, but I'll go with the group.
But you can keep Wild Guitar Gently Weeps, obviously, and Happy.
Yes, you have to.
Okay. Yep. You don't have to. It's not Russia.
No, you do. You absolutely
do not have to. It's not Russia.
All right, so that we're five tracks so far. All right, side two.
We're already up to five?
Martha, yeah. Here, I think the first three or four here, your Martha, My Dear, I'm So Tired, Blackbird, and Piggies, I think are four really good tracks.
So now we're at nine?
I'm going to put Piggies, though, in a maybe category.
Okay.
I'm with Nick on this because, I mean...
If Piggies is definitely one that could be dropped, I agree.
Yeah. Wait, okay, what other Harrison song are you substituting then?
We already have Wild Goes Version of the Week, so he usually only got one track per record anyway. So
But sometimes he had two. So
he has four in this one, and I think you have Long, 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 which would be
Long, Long, Long is great. Yeah, if I had to choose the two, it would be Long, Long, Long and Wild Goes Version of the Weeps.
Way over Savoy Truffle. So I'm with you on Long, Long, Long.
Okay, so for a side two, Rocky Raccoon, no. Don't Pass Me By, no.
No, yeah, we can pretty much cut out both.
Why Don't We Do It in the Road? It's Lame. Gone.
I Will.
Why Don't We Do It?
I like I Will, but it would be a tough choice between Mother Nature's Son and I Will.
You got to have Mother Nature's Son. It embodies India. So.
Julia is a sweet track, but I feel like what's the one from his solo album's a better version of that idea?
Oh, Jealous Guy?
No, not Jealous Guy. The one about his mom and dad.
Mother.
I think that's a better version of that song, frankly. But Julia is a popular song.
No, but that's not the same melody, though.
Julia is him processing his mother's death, but I think Mother off his solo track is a better.
Oh yeah, no, I love Plastic Ono Band. Still probably one of my favorite Lennon albums solo.
Okay, so are we dropping everything else from that? I Will and Julia. We're not including that.
Right.
That's really hard.
If time allows, I would definitely put I Will, but you know, it could end up on a B-side somewhere, so
sure.
Side three. We have Birthday.
Yeah, we can cut Birthday. You definitely put in Your Blues.
Your Blues is definite. Mother's Nation.
Yes.
Mother's Son, yeah. I like Me and My Monkey.
That's everybody's got something to have except Me and My Monkey is a pretty good track.
A good track.
But, I mean, is that what you close out the album with then? Because, we're really getting close.
Well, on side three, you have Helter Skelter and Long, Long, Long close.
Helter Skelter. Oh, Helter Skelter. I mean, geez. You have to have Charlie Manson.
I mean, Helter Skelter is arguably the first heavy metal song.
Yeah. I mean, and the extended version is so fucking good. I realize that you can't have it on the album, but geez.
Well, and extended version. The mono album, I think it was the extended version, I think.
No, I'm talking about like the version they released on Anthology 3, and then eventually they released the other version that's like, how long is the 13 minutes?
I have it on my phone.
All right. Let's go to side four, because I feel like you could arguably drop a lot of it, except I love the end of Cry Baby Cry, the little Paul McCartney part.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Me too.
But now that the deluxe one came out last year, though, when you actually hear the whole song, you're like, oh, it's not as good.
I think Cry Baby Cry, except for that little part because of the Gray album where he did that bit with that part, which is really freaking cool.
Oh, yeah. That is so good. The Gray album?
Yes.
Are we talking about Jay-Z, right?
What's his name? Danger Mouse,
DJ. Yes, Danger Mouse. The mix up there. Yeah, that is a good album. Sure.
So yeah, are we putting anything aside for Revolution 1? Meh.
No. No.
Honey Pie. No.
Nope.
Hell no. Boy Truffle. No.
Nope.
Cry Baby Cry. Save for that little ditty. You can still put that on something else, right?
I mean, Cry Baby Cry could make it. I mean, it's. I mean, it's close. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Revolution number 9, nope.
Nope.
Good Night, not a bad track, but it's out of place.
It is, and it feels forced, kind of like season 5 or season 8, episode 5.
Okay, so for our definite yeses, we had Back in the USSR, Dear Prudence, Glass Onion, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, Martha, My Dear, I'm So Tired, Blackbird, Piggies, which was on the periphery, Your Blues, Mother Nature's Son, Helter Skelter, and Long, Long, Long.
Not a bad album. I mean, you know, it's a fun game to play for listeners at home,
which would be Hey Jude and
12 minutes 54 seconds was the Helter Skelter.
I was close. 13 minutes. Yeah, we get like a 6 minute version or like a 5 minute version on Anthology 3. And then, you know, the thing was, is that there was a 22 minute or 23 minute version of this Helter Skelter. The 13 minute version, or 12 minutes, 54 seconds, as Nick pointed out. I love the extended Helter Skelter. It's just the Beatles jamming. So good.
But the songs we pick, we still have like 15 minutes, so we could add more.
Oh, really? So just add them. Yeah, throw in "I Will Again." And
yeah.
But in Hey Jude, I think you can close out with Hey Jude. Well,
I think you close out with Hey Jude. I think that's the perfect thing to close out the.
Leaving it all 7 minutes in, huh?
Yeah.
Whole thing. All, yeah.
That's what you close out, as opposed to having, you know, good night and stuff like that. Yeah.
What's the ratio then now of distribution? Are more Paul songs represented or more John songs represented?
Well, John didn't give a shit at this point.
Fuck the egos. That's what I say.
John was an asshole.
Before Hey Jude, you have, out of what we thought, we had McCartney, Lennon, Harrison, Lennon, McCartney, Lennon, McCartney, Harrison, Lennon, McCartney, McCartney, Harrison.
I've lost count because I'm drunk.
Well, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 5 McCartneys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Lennons.
Oh, nice.
Harrison.
Okay.
So we're pretty even.
All right. We're even.
So if you did, yeah, you did single Revolution and single Hey Jude, you're still 6-6 on Lennon McCartney.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. Perfect White Album. You're welcome.
It's still not my favorite Beatles record, though. But
No. I think it's between Revolution and Abbey Road for me, personally.
Yeah, we've...
Not Revolver, you mean?
Yeah. We and Jeff talk about this a lot, actually, I think. Because when people ask me what's your favorite Beatles record, I say technically, just from the technical aspect, it's Revolver, but for just pleasure, if I'm going to put one on just to listen to, it'll be Abbey Road.
I think Nick and I, we've talked about this like post Owen and Beru's. Like, this is something that we like have talked about.
Yeah,
right.
Probably. Yeah,
yeah.
It's funny how the Beatles come up in just random conversation all the time. But yeah,
I mean, I was going to talk Avengers and seeing it a second time, but you know, hey, Beatles conversation.
I mean, Jack, do you want to get Jack? Do you want to get to your era, like more like Louis Armstrong and Frank Sinatra?
Sure.
Okay. You're awfully quiet over there. I'm just saying.
I'm just having it's kind of spinning right now. So it's
oh, okay.
Oh,
so that's why I was covering up. Not that you guys were ugly. They're just trying to block the light.
You're trying to count all of the.
Wait, maybe you feel right like there. The asshole there, Jack. Like, yeah, Nick's the asshole. Everybody, just so you know.
That's okay. No. I was enjoying the conversation. I was enjoying it.
I saw it a second time. What did you feel? Did anything hit you differently the second time versus the first time?
Oh, seeing Avengers.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. So I saw Avengers with my son. I went ahead and took him, even though he hasn't seen a lot of the Marvel movies. Sorry, that was my timer.
I think I said it was okay for him to go, right?
Yeah, you did. And so, and I really wanted him just to have the experience of seeing it. And, you know, he's seen Infinity War, so he knew the setup.
How old is your son again?
He is 9. He just turned 9. And, I just have to share the experience so, you know, I'm, you know, because I've seen it, I know certain parts that are coming up, and I was watching him. And that last act, that third act. And so spoilers for Avengers. But I'm watching him in that last act when the war is about to happen. And when the portals open up and all of the heroes start coming through, he is just smiles from ear to ear. Like, he is just lit up like a Christmas tree. It is so beautiful seeing my son just like so happy to see. Because, you know, I mean, he wants Thanos to die. He wants, you know, and so to see that moment for him, like, I was just like, I was really excited. That was really fun to share that with him. And so,
I mean, people have already turned off of this if they're spoiler free or whatever, but
yeah. I mean, the last extension that we did, we did a pretty spoilery Avengers review.
I don't have to see the movie.
How did he take the Tony Stark?
Okay, this was funny. You know, we're driving home and there's a lot to take in, you know. It's a long movie. So I'm like, okay, you know, like, so what did you think about, you know, the Iron Man part? And he said, oh, I felt really sad for Spider-Man because, you know, And I thought it was funny. He was like, he was identifying with Spider-Man feeling sad for Iron Man. So it's kind of like a, he couldn't identify with Iron Man, but he could identify with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And so through Spider-Man, he felt sad.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It was.
That's the closest person to connect to, like age-wise. So
yeah,
Robin lost Batman.
Yeah. 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 No, it worked. So you know, I thought that was kind of interesting that he had identified with Spider-Man, even though Jack's not a Spider-Man guy.
I'm not a fan. Either, but Tom Holland Spider-Man's really good. And honestly, Into the Spider-Verse is one of the best comic book movies. Period.
So one thing that I picked up on, though, seeing it a second time, was that I didn't pick up on was Captain America taking Thor's hammer back to the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, he not only does he have to return the stones, but he has to return the actual hammer because, like, that can't be out of time. Like, Thor still needs it to be destroyed.
I will say, watching it, the first time we watched it, it was like a packed theater with a bunch of people that, you know, a very diverse crowd. And it was great just because all the big moments, there was just a raucous, like, oh, awesome. Like, there's a lot of women. So, like, that women scene, they were like,
yeah.
All right, awesome. And then, like, when Captain America took the Thor, it was like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And then, like, when Black Panther came out, it was like, oh, yeah. So it's just like everybody, there's just a lot of moments for everybody in the theater, which was really cool. And everyone was just so into it and like cheering and everything. It was really fun to be a part of that. And then the second time I saw it was in a middle of the day where nobody was really there except for like some old people. So it was a different vibe where there wasn't like the cheering or the woo of the theater.
Yeah, I definitely saw it in a more like kind of post opening weekend where people weren't really like cheering and stuff like that. But still to see my son's reactions and also people in the audience crying. Like, I think that is the one thing that no matter when I saw it, whether it was closer to the opening weekend or, you know, a weekend or so after, people really affected by Tony's death. So sorry for, but you know, I already warned you guys, spoilers.
I cried more with him, the scene between him and his dad, like, and maybe it's just me and
dad myself. Oh, yeah. Cause Jack,
like having a shitty father, like myself.
No, I know. I was more affected by the mother scene, actually. Like I kind of tried to push it down.
Yeah.
With Thor and his mom, I lost my mom very young. And, you know, it's one of those things that's always stuck with me. And to have that moment with a parent that's gone,
yeah,
it's really powerful. And I mean, I'm not a Captain America, like, kind of Boy Scout guy. I'm not an Iron Man, like, I can buy everything kind of guy. I really identify with Thor, and I love Ragnarok. It's still probably one of my favorites. I love Hulk in that movie, and I really like Thor, and I love his character development. The fact that he goes through killing Thanos, really, and being weighted with the burden of death, like, and
it's PTSD. Like, he clearly is still fucked up.
Yeah, and yet he still rises to the occasion. When he gets the lightning towards the end of the movie, I'm like, I'm with Thor. I'm like, fuck yeah, like, this is awesome. Like, I love it. So, it was good seeing it a second time, though. There's a lot more to take in.
They just did everything so saddest, like, every character, or especially, like, the original characters, they each had such a good conclusion. Like, especially, like, this... The Steve Rogers thing where they're dancing at the end, I cried with that. Tony and his dad, like, that was emotional.
I was more emotional with Tony and his daughter. Like, I was a little bit more like, oh, yeah, that Love You 3000 thing. Like,
yes. There's a lot of good. I don't know. It's a great movie. Unlike the last season of Game of Thrones, it was really satisfying. conclusion.
Ironically, I talked to my cousin, who's like a brother to me. He's only 2 months younger than I am, but like 3 inches taller than me, and about 50. Tall. What's that?
You're a tall guy, so that's pretty tall.
Yeah, he is tall. He is tall and probably twice my size. So, yeah, he's a big dude, and you know, a lot of tattoos too.
Or something. How tall are you?
Maybe? I'm 6'4".
6'4". Yeah, you're tall. Yeah.
So he's six, yeah. So he's 6'7".
He's 6'6", I think. Maybe he's like 6'6", maybe 6'7", but he's tall. Anyway, I was talking to my cousin just yesterday, and it was weird because I was like, "Hey, so what did you think of?" He's a big Game of Thrones book reader. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "So what'd you think?" And he was like, "Yeah, it was good, you know, like I'm still waiting for the books, you know, like whatever." But I hated Endgame.
What?
I was like, "Yeah, what? What are you talking about?" And he's like, "I'm a Hulk guy, and I hate what they did to Hulk."
Yeah, I mean, I kind of frowned on that, but I accepted it, no problem.
So it was just shocking to me. It was really shocking to me to hear.
That was the thing that made him not like
it. Yeah, it was.
Again, Professor Hulk is in the comics, like him, like that whole thing is in the comics.
He's also a comic book collector too. So I mean, it's not like he's just coming out of the blue. Like he's a big Hulk fan, and so he likes Angry Hulk, and so you know,
him going back to the Avengers timeline where he's then trying to like be angry. He's like,
yeah,
so funny.
Yeah, that's exactly what he liked. He was like, "Yeah, give me that Hulk." He just didn't like the Bruce Banner Hulk. Yeah, I props to my cousin. I mean, you know, he is what he is. But I thought it was great though. I was like, "So you liked Game of Thrones, but you hated Endgame? Go figure." So there you go,
everybody. I guess.
I guess so. So.
There's a lot of debate too about who Captain America gave the shield to, but to me, especially in the MCU, Bucky murdered so many people, and he clearly didn't want to
allegedly
anymore. To me, it made perfect sense. I mean, they both have been Captain America in the comics, so to me, it made perfect sense that it went to the Falcon versus Bucky, at least, mm-hmm. especially in the MCU where Bucky. You know, up until, you know, a couple movies ago was, you know, murdering people. Again, it wasn't against his own will, but he was a pretty effed up character that I don't think could really simplify the Captain America.
Okay, one last thing about Avengers. Steve Rogers picks up 4 PIM particles in the past.
Uh-huh.
2 are clearly used for him and Iron Man to get back to the future. Pun intended. What are the other 2 used for?
Backups? No, they have to get back to the Avengers timeline and then back to the present timeline. I don't know. I really don't know.
So, here's my thought. Is there's a scene where Iron Man says, like right after Thanos attacks, he says something like, "Oh,
Thanos,
when you mess with time like, back. Yeah, you'll learn," or something like that. Like he makes this allusion to the fact that like he's, I don't know, like there to me, I had wondered though if Iron Man himself messed with time.
No, I thought it was more, you know, if you push against time or whatever, it's going to push back. And that's why, you know, Thanos.
Fair enough. I just, that was to me, that was the one, like, is something else here that I'm not picking up on? I know that, you know, I know that Robert Downey Jr. is not going to don the Iron Man mask anytime soon. But to me, it felt like it was also like an open, like, what are those other 2 PIM particles for that were grabbed?
Well, I think they set up a lot of stuff, especially for the Loki show,
mm-hmm.
the Falcon and Bucky show.
There's a Falcon and Bucky show?
Yeah, it's going to be on Disney Plus too. So I assume it's probably going to be about the new Cap and Bucky. Like it's going to be like their own show.
It just sounds like, you know, the Cap and Bucky show.
No, you're right. That does sound funny.
But no, so I a lot of stuff could be set up for their Disney Plus offerings for sure.
Okay. Fair enough. We've covered a lot there. Anything else that you picked up on the second viewing?
Nothing I didn't notice the first time. It was just cool seeing it again. I did a different pee break this time just to make sure I could see everything. So I time my pee break differently. But besides that, no, I really think the only thing I noticed differently was, you know, not being in a big filled theater. It was a slightly different experience, or a little bit more calm experience versus like opening weekend. Everybody just like being into those, like the Captain America hammer scene, which is still amazing and great, but like in a theater full of people going, oh yeah. Like just like, oh, like
yes. The whole
theater blowing up. Like, fuck yeah. It was just a completely different experience than being in a theater with like five retirees that have no idea what the fuck is going on. It's just a slightly different experience. It was still good, you know.
I think I said this on the extended when we talked about this, but I haven't said this to you, Jay, though. But there was one scene at the very beginning that it irked me that it didn't happen because it was totally within Tony's character.
Mm-hmm.
Was when he's recording the message thinking he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have sounded like finished it with Obi-Wan, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. You know, like I wanted that ending to happen right there because you could see him just being like seeing the absurdity of what he's doing.
Yeah.
And just like the joke. And I was like, that should have totally been in there, you know, because that's what he's doing.
That's true. Maybe a future down the line. So I feel like, you know, if there's a theory is that maybe he put his consciousness in the Jarvis or something like that. Like, I don't know. It's comic books, like, so anybody that dies in comics always comes back. So I'm not
right.
Whatever. Yeah. But
yeah. And you got the whole
world in
clanking.
Your hands.
You got the clanking, you know, at the end joke. I mean, not joke, but the reference and why the person at the funeral, who that person was.
Oh, from Iron Man 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I saw. I was like, oh, that's the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot of people, you know, that didn't know what that was. Like, who the hell is this random person, you know? And then you're like, oh, that's going to be the new Iron Man.
Oh, cool. He's there. Well, so I don't know if he's going to be the new Iron Man or his daughter. Like, to me, it's like maybe that's setting up not phase 5, but maybe like phase 7. We'll get to those kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
If it keeps going that far.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I really hope that they do some kind of Avengers versus X-Men. I think that's...
Well, you have so much now that you've brought in Fox. Like, you have the Galactus trilogy from the comics. You have X-Men. You have, and this Phoenix movie is going to be absolute shit, but you can actually do the Phoenix saga, right? Like, there's just so much.
Right. And they've never done Silver Surfer or Fantastic Four Justice, though.
Right.
Amazing storylines from bringing in Fantastic Four and X-Men that there's just so much more that they can do.
You mentioned Galactus. That's the one thing I thought was interesting because they doubled down on Thanos actually being a bad guy, you know. Mm-hmm. And in the comics, you know, because he wants to impress Death, you know, and like you kind of get this feeling he's not really a bad guy. He's just trying to do what he thinks is right. And I kind of thought they might go there with Thanos when he finally gets down to it. He's explaining why he's doing what he's doing is that he's trying to take out Galactus. And they didn't go that route. They went with him. No, they doubled down on him. Like, no, I want to kill everyone. You know, and you're like, oh, okay.
I liked his. I liked the, as opposed to Death in the Comics, a little probably doesn't translate as well in movie form. I liked his idea of trying to bring balance to the universe. Like, okay, that makes sense. Whatever.
Yeah.
Because I think even the movie, like, oh, there's whales back in Hudson. It was like, oh, well, I guess we don't really need that many humans. So like, he's like, well, I guess it wasn't that bad, but whatever.
Those are the little plot holes too that my nitpicking kind of got in the way. It's like, wait a minute. So I understand Tony's reasoning of bringing them back 5 years later because he doesn't want his daughter to go away.
Yeah.
Totally understandable. I was like, but then think about it. The rest of the world for 5 years has had half the population not growing that much food, not having that much infrastructure, and then all of a sudden you're reintroducing all those people. It's like, that's going to cause a shit ton of problems. You know? That's just my logical mind going like, whoa, that's going to be a big mistake. You know? But
yeah,
no. It's a movie.
Exactly. But no, I'm I really dug it. I'm excited to see, because I guess this Spider-Man's going to come out and that'll end phase four, and then they'll talk about phase five. But to me, like, bringing the Galactus trilogy is so, like, gosh, I can't wait till they get to that, just because Silver Surfer is one of my favorite comic book characters, and I think there's just so much. And again, X-Men too. X-Men, it was always X-Men and Batman for me. So, like, and again, I think the Fox did some really good X-Men movies and some really shitty X-Men movies. So,
yeah, I like the first two, you know, in 2000 and 2002. And then the third one, the Phoenix, was horrible.
Yeah.
And then I really liked, First Class. And then it's been kind of a downtrend after that.
First Class and Days of Future Past, I thought were perfect.
I like Days of Future Past, but to me it was not superior, but not too far below First Class. It was
what better. I loved about Days of Future Past is it got rid of shitty X-Men 3. Like,
it completely ignored it. Yeah.
Like, retconned it, which I was like, yes, this is my favorite movie ever, because I hated X-Men 3.
We would not have Avengers if it wasn't for the first X-Men.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
Like, I mean, that first X-Men movie when it came out, I mean, like, to have that many superheroes together collectively, it was like, oh yes, like, this is awesome. Like, we never had a studio that put their money where their mouth was and just like let it happen.
Well, that's the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, like those two. The first two, again, to me, like, Spider-Man 2 is one of the best. It was amazing. And X-Men 2, I thought, was amazing. Like,
but Spider-Man 3 just shit the bed.
Oh, it really did.
Spider-Man 3 and X-Men 3 were so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm pretty much at that point now. If I see Tobey Maguire, not Tobey Maguire.
No, that's right.
No, not Tobey Maguire. The kid that played Venom in Spider-Man 3.
Oh.
Topher Grace. Yeah. If I see Topher Grace in the credits or Olivia Munn, I'm not even going to watch it.
Okay, but you got to see
death sentence.
You got to see Black Klansman, though.
I did see Black Klansman. He actually did do a pretty good job in that movie.
I thought he was a good David Duke. So, Anyway, I derail because we're talking about reality and not
a presidential candidate.
That was pretty topical. Some of the stuff that happens in Black Klansman.
If you're about crying, I cried at the end of Black Klansman. It was so fucking sad. But anyway.
We have talked beyond our
usually extended episode is not as shorter than the original.
We've only been talking for 40 minutes.
Okay,
I got a Padre game to watch us lose,
and they're losing 5-3 at this point.
But Machado and Reyes have home runs. So.
Yes, both on my fantasy team.
I had promised Jay a tight 20, and we are at.
If you want, I wanted to give a shout out to San Diego State's own
Kawhi Leonard.
He has a shot that's a movie ending version shot. If you haven't seen it, you got to see it. It's just it's an amazing shot, and it's like a made for TV movie or something like that. But
if you got one shot, you got to take your shot.
And that was it was an amazing shot.
Always aim for the head.
Especially if you're the Hound.
He should have seen Infinity War. He would have known.
I know.
All right, guys, that's all we got. Thank our patrons. Thank everybody. That's all we got. Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter Kloffler, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, the Drake the what do we call Drake now?
Destroyer.
Destroyer. And Ed, the creepy litter here. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for everyone. And thanks for Jay for joining us, who always complains about long episodes, but we had two of the longest episodes we've had in some time.
Your guys' fault.
How's it our fault?
I don't know. I just like to blame.
Oh, you're going to blame us? You're going to tell Colleen it was our fault?
If you get him on topic because he wants to talk about it, then he'll join in.
Well, thanks for joining
us. Beatles comic books.
Yeah!
All right, guys. We're out of here.
See ya.
Have a great show, kids. 1 in a million. See you next Tuesday.
Hasta luego and goodbye.
Goodbye. Matt, you got anything to say?
Bye. No, you took all my lines.
Bye. That goes.